old Coach Edwards were on the Millicent U Tigers, and you listening to that Antelope, that Sports Reloaded remix Antelope, with your boy Danny Belts, and all them some bitches calling in, they talking about all kinds of stuff. You know, Coach O, he's a, you know, simple Cajun football coach, about to be something else too, you know, and I prefer to just talk about, you know, things Coach O knows and that's X's and O's and stuff, but every now and then, I think about things like comedians and things like that, and you know, I like them magicians too, baby. like Houdini, you know, that's something that's cool. I mean, you can get out anything. You can put that. You can put him in a pirogue in the swamp, you know, and you can cover it up and tie him and zip tie or some bitch, and dunk him, and he find a way to get out. You know, I mean, it was pretty amazing. You know, I mean, I think it's cool. Coach O likes that, and you know, the whole act of the magic tricks and all. And when I say Houdini, I'm talking about the magician, not the rapper. You know, bam, go. Coach O likes to go old school, you know, but I mean, that's going to be for a different subject we talk about. We're going to be talking about good old rap one day, baby. But, you know, another thing Coach O not real happy about right now is that boy Paul Maneri. I mean, look, Coach O, he gets a lot of good players, you know, and he's got a championship to speak of recently, you know what I'm saying? Maneri, he fields an MLB team every season. And he don't do nothing. I mean, he wins every now and then. I mean, he barely beat Air Force one game and get his ass whipped the other game. And then Oral Roberts or Jimmy Swaggart, whatever them schools are, them little bitty schools, they beat the crap out of us. You know, and it's embarrassing. I mean, if Coach O had that team right now, I'd have Mexican helping face the game. Maybe I'd get there before the game. I'd be like, oh, baby, we gonna score. We gonna hit some runs. You know, we're going to do some good pitching. We're going to be good on special teams, baby. We're going to bring it. You know, we come because we're the LSU Tigers. Go Tigers, baby. But, you know, he ain't got no fire, baby. He sound real passive and like he on Valium or something. He like, well, you know, we didn't execute all three phases and, you know, we weren't real good hitting the ball. I mean, you got to have fire in your belly, baby. You got to be fiery Cajun like Coach O, bitch, because I am Coach O and you listen to that anchor and go Tigers, baby. Boom.
You know what's up. If any of you idiots, and I mean all you people, trans, gay, straight, les, homo, pansexual, as Bro Exotic says, white, black, Chinese, Asian, Hispanic, I don't care. If anyone text Netflix, like aka me, email Netflix, call Netflix, snail mail Netflix, even if you smoke signal Netflix about us not having the office anymore, here's what's going to happen. That ass is canceled. Except I cancel you. You can't cancel your subscription. And it goes up to $119.99 a month for 10 years. And for the next 9 months, that ass is only going to be able to watch Friends. And it's season 1 and season 2 when Courtney Cox and Jennifer Aniston wasn't even that hot. So don't do it and punish everybody. Netflix, bitch.
Warm it all up. Everything you got.
Yeah, yeah.
Welcome to the Sports Antidote, episode number 42. I'm your host, Danny Belts, the real mechanic. That's right, the real mechanic. And I ain't talking about nobody at no auto body shop either. We'll get into that. Let's go over last week's picks from Instagram. Oregon State +6. We had that when they played Loyola Chicago. Won outright. Cash that. La Tech, pick them before they lost the other game. Cash that. Again, it's tough to keep up because there's games before games. It's like Inception. We had the Baylor over. What was a loser? Won our last 7 out of 9. 21-13 all of a sudden on the sports end. No, look at Danny Belts getting back to his winning ways. We have a few picks for you here for the final four. I had a ridiculous experience tonight at the sushi restaurant in Birmingham. Stan Van Gundy responded to me on Twitter, the coach of the Wokakins, a.k.a. the Pelicans. We're talking about that. Tommy Bench comes on to talk about, oh, of course, the COVID fourth wave is going to kill us. Lil Nas X and Joe Biden's dog. Before that, Bro Exotic comes on to talk about his new poker game. It's called Woker. And he has a new show on Netflix. I'm not sure what's going on with this guy. We'll figure it out. But either way, It's going to be interesting. We can at least agree on that. We can agree on anything. It's good to see Danny Belts get back to getting these dubs. Lost a couple close ones, too. The wins have been pretty good. Man, Oregon State, I had them in a Calcutta. I bought them in an auction with my friend in Houston. We bought them for a couple hundred, and you win more every round that you win. And, man, they go down 17 at half to Houston and made that a game. And as you know, I did a show on Houston before the season started about how I think they can win a national championship, and here they are in the Final Four. I have them at 17-1 currently. That's a hot ticket. How much I put on it is irrelevant. If it wins, I'll be very happy. Let's put it that way. Speaking of picks, like I said, we have two coming your way. Major League Baseball begins tomorrow. Oh, I can't think of a better way to win and lose money than on opening week. It really is insane, Major League Baseball, especially in the beginning. I usually wait a little bit. Some people don't. Dickie Salvo, he likes the Marlins. He can't make it today. I know he has an obligation with his wife. It's tough. He's a busy dude. Not to say that we aren't, but he's a tough cat to get on the pod. But he's in a different time zone. It's always kind of weird with that, and I don't know. He's a great dude, though. We love him. We can have him on. Hopefully we can have him on for the NCAA Finals, and he'll be a mainstay all summer for Major League Baseball, as that is something that he also, like myself, tends to specialize in. I'm at a sushi restaurant tonight in Birmingham. And just like cats on a plane, not making it up. And guess what? You can believe it or not. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care. Because if you don't believe it, guess what?
World needs plenty of bartenders. 2 weeks with pay. Good.
Plenty of podcasts out there. 2 weeks without pay. So I do the right thing. I usually walk in with my work bag, and I like to do some following, some emails, and I like to wrap up the day for some reason, not in the hotel, but in like a restaurant bar. And I don't really booze it up while I'm doing this, obviously, but I just like to get some food, kind of decompress. It's more relaxing than the hotel room. Hotel rooms to me are depressing. I spend too much time in them. So I'm sitting at the bar, and this sushi restaurant is fire. I found this new, it's outside of Birmingham. So outside of Birmingham, I think it's called, I don't know. It's like Uptown. It's awesome. I've never stayed here. I've stayed in Birmingham 50,000 times. This new area is badass. So I'm definitely going to be staying here from now on when I visit the city. So I'm sitting at the bar, and I walk in the restaurant, and respectably with my mask on, as ridiculous as that is, just makes no sense. You either shut the restaurant down, or you have no masks. It's that simple. So anyway, I walk in with my mask all 9 feet to the bar. I could spit at the bar. So I walk in, I sit down, I take my mask off, and I order some food. And I'm starving Marvin over here. I haven't eaten all day. I think I had like a, I don't even know. I don't think I ate anything. Some beef jerky. And this lady sits about 3 feet away from me and starts yakking it up with the bartender. She's obviously from New Orleans, where I'm from, but she's what we call a yat. Like, you know, where yat, bruh? And she's just yatting. Oh my God, I was over there, got the daiquiri, bruh. And she's just yatting up a storm. Category 5, massive yat. I know her whole story. She's from Chalmette, maybe Slidell. She got pregnant when she was 16. Rocky and Carlo's, the best restaurant in the world, bruh. Anyway. She is carrying on, but she won't take her mask off, and I'm trying not to look at her. She keeps, like, looking at me, and the bartender has his mask on. Mind you, there's only 4 seats at this bar. This is a small sushi restaurant. This bartender is jamming at the service bar, by the way. This dude is like Boston Dan, my boy, who's best bartender ever, Boston Dan, came to my wedding. Party in a box. Just add 1 Budweiser. Boom. This dude is moonwalking, sets the whole dance floor on fire, constantly hilarious. But this dude is shaking cocktails. He's very, very good bar. This is not exactly bartending 101. And I take notice to that as I sip my wine that is disgusting. Ugh. Anyway, so she keeps like looking over at me. And then in my periphery, I can see she points to me. And I already know where this is going. Like, I just know where this is going. I don't have my mask on. I don't have to have my mask on. All right. And if I get up to use the restroom, I'll respectively put it on and walk around like a child, because we cannot have an adult conversation still about what's happening, but that's fine. That's fine. I'm going to play by the rules, the child's rules. We'll play by the kid's rules. And after about like 5 minutes of her like insinuating, whispering to the bartender and pointing at me. I'm like, I'm going to look at her. Don't look at her. Don't look at her, Belts. She goes, excuse me, can you do me a small favor? I have a request. And immediately, the angel and the devil pop up on Belts' shoulder. And the angel says, Danny, don't worry about it. She's just trying to be nice. She wants you to put your mask on, even though you just got the food, even though you're about to have food served to you. And the devil's like, fuck this. Tell her to go back where she came from. And he's like, really give it to her. So I'm like, yes, how can I help you? And she's like, for the safety of myself, can you put your mask on? Swear to God. And I tell her, no, I can't. And I'm about to eat food. So, and the food drops right in front of me, the bartender. And he goes like, what's the problem? I was like, well, and she goes, well, I feel safer if he had his mask on. And I'm like, well, I have my food in front of me, so no. And I have a drink in front of me, so double no. And I'm sitting at the bar. I don't need to have the mask on, triple no. And then she proceeds to go on about how it's unsafe and all this. And she asked me if I can act like I'm on an airplane. If you don't know what that means, that's when you have your mask on and then you pull it down and put a couple pretzels in your mouth, sip your water, then pull your mask back on while you chew and swallow whatever you have in your mouth. I looked at her and I said this, and I quote, can we have an adult conversation? Yeah, I'm Belts is over it. Yeah, it escalated a little bit. And I win. I stay, she leaves. End of story. So this is getting to be ridiculous. Birmingham is woken. Look, I understand the masks. I get it. Two masks? No, that's absolute cuckoldry. But no, I'm not going to sit down here and eat. The reason I'm leaving, no. Unbelievable. I mean, you have to wake up early in the morning to make this stuff up. Speaking of woke, Stan Van Gundy. I'm not a fan. I think he's an incredibly overrated coach. I think he's terrible. More talent on the Pelicans than most NBA teams, and it's blamed on they're young and all this. Zion Williamson right now is like a borderline MVP candidate. At 20 years old, he's doing things that no 20-year-old's ever done. He's light years ahead of LeBron when LeBron was 20. His numbers are scary. Well, if you don't know Stan Van Woke, he basically takes to Twitter and just, you know, full of white guilt, can't stand the fact that he's a white millionaire, and can't stand the fact that he's in a black man's game, and he's white, and he's woke, and it's just terrible. It really is ridiculous. And he says, Officer Chauvin committing the murder was the fault of the bystanders calling by the police names. How dare these people get upset over the officer committing murder before their eyes? If an officer did exactly what he was trained to do, then police training needs to be on trial. So then I respond with, no one thinks he's innocent, but woken tweeting, apparently, like the elephant in the room, in the city that the literal elephant coaches in. How convenient. Read up on what's happening a few miles from your doorstep. And then I puts an article of how New Orleans is shattering murder records right now. They've had 16 teenagers die at the hands of gun violence, black on black, in Orleans Parish. That we are well out of control now. We are Chicago light in New Orleans. That's only 30-something miles from my doorstep. It used to be 6 miles from my doorstep, which is why I moved north. He responds, Stan Van Woke, not quite sure what that has to do with Chauvin murdering George Floyd. What's your point? Are you saying if homicides increase, police officers should be given free passes to murder black people? And he capitalized black. And what does wanting an officer to be held accountable have to do with being woke? You see, this is the problem. Van Woke takes narrow, narrow narratives that the media throws down our throat and then blows it up. Like, that's the overwhelming problem. White police officers killing black people is horrible, but it is not the problem. Excuse me, it is a problem, but it's not an issue. Here's my response to Van Woke, and he did not respond to me, but I know he read it because I looked at the, I can't prove that he read it, but 27 people read it, and I guarantee you he was one of them because you can check the analytics thing on Twitter to know that. I know he read it, and he didn't respond. I respond, there are problems, and then there are issues, coach. A problem is like a bad matchup on a couple possessions. An issue is a bad matchup the whole game. What happened to Floyd is a problem, no doubt. But if you want to talk about the issue, let's meet for coffee and I'll buy. Game, set, match. Blouses. See, the issue here, we all know what the elephant in the room, we all know what the issue is. And I managed to also, I didn't even mean to, I think I fat shamed him by calling him the literal elephant, but, you know, I just can't help it. This is insane what's happening right before our eyes. And We just talk about things that happen every quarter as opposed to things that happen every hour. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. And we'll have an episode for that over the summer when a police officer, former NOPD police officer, is going to come on this podcast and tell you what he has to deal with regarding the current mayor, LaToya the Destroyer, what homicide looks like in New Orleans, how they're handcuffed and can't do anything, and how they took a decrease in pay and most people left. So we'll be talking about that. Someone made a comment also that they don't like it when they can hear me sip. Yeah, it is aggravating, I know. I try to do it a little quieter. But you have to get drunk when you talk about stuff like this, so you'll start bashing this hotel room up, and I don't want to get fired because I used the company card for this, right? So. The real mechanic. What's a mechanic? Mechanic is somebody that fixes something, right? You have a car mechanic, which is what most people would identify a mechanic with. You have mechanics that do a lot of stuff. There was a movie called The Mechanic, I believe, with Jason Statham. I think he was a guy that just like fixed problems. He fixed issues and problems. That's that type of mechanic. And I'm sure there's people out there that actually do that. But then there's a different type of mechanic. It's a card mechanic. Let me explain. There's about 10,000 registered card magicians in the world. There's actually competitions and there's rankings like tennis or anything else that individual sports would provide professionally. These guys do this. No one knows about them, but inside their own world, they all know who each other are. A registered magician, you have to pass. It's like being a wine connoisseur. You have to pass certain levels and then you're qualified and then you're certified and then you're a card-carrying member. And it's not easy to reach that, apparently, from what I've been reading. Of those 10,000 magicians, this is kind of like the Little League World Series we talked about last year. There's a lot of teams, right? Many are called, fewer chosen. Well, there ain't many card mechanics. There's only six. These would be like the master sommeliers in the wine world. Everybody knows who they are in the wine world. These six card mechanics are people that are beyond the pageantry of magicianry. They're beyond. They're light years ahead of that. These are guys that can take a deck of cards, and they are as dangerous with that deck of cards as a bull in a china shop. They can do whatever they want, whenever they want with those cards. We kind of saw that a little bit on Rounders, as Matt Damon was talking about Worm, and how he could... Edward Norton's character in that movie, how he could like fix cards, deal cards and everything. But, you know, and he said his technique, he's this inner monologue, his technique got really good in prison and all this. But he wasn't really a mechanic. You have to qualify to be a quote unquote mechanic. And that's like a 5-star general. There's not many of them walking on earth. Well, there's one that is so much better than the others that they've written books about it. His name is Richard Turner. He's a 65-year-old man. He lives in San Antonio. He's more accomplishments than most people would have in their lifetime. He's done in about, I don't know, 5 weeks. You know, black belt in karate. And even at 65, he's jacked. You can see that when you go look him up on YouTube. Richard Turner. Countless interviews of this guy and countless videos of what he does. And what he does is better than anything you've ever seen regarding a deck of cards. It's actually so phenomenal. You don't even realize what you're looking at. It's underwhelming because it's so spectacular. And for a guy like me, a card degenerate, a gambler, I look at that and I'm just in awe of how like this could actually happen. A deck of cards to him is like gills to a fish. It's just natural. He can do things with that deck that you cannot even imagine. I'll give you some examples. And there's a lot of videos you can check online, but here's my favorite. He's got about 7 people at a poker table. He can fix a blackjack game. He can fix a poker game. He can fix anything if he's got that deck in his hands. We'll get into what he did in his past and at his present. But he displays how he can fix a poker game. He shuffles the deck about 10 times. Someone else cuts. And then he shuffles one more time. And then with his hands quickly does a chisel of the deck. So nothing looks, it looks just normal. And of the 7 people, he deals them all a good hand. And they all nail the flop. And 2 people actually have, one has a full house, one has 4 of a kind. Other guy has pocket aces, one guy has pocket kings. Like everybody, not everybody nailed the flop, but everybody's going to be in this hand. At the end of the day, like, one guy has four kings, one guy has a full house, one guy has four aces. You see, this would provoke a massive pot. No one's getting rid of four kings, right? Especially whole cards. So he has the ability to do that. He can deal cards that aren't even in the deck. He's been approached by mafioso people internationally and nationally. He's been asked to go fix games overseas in Saudi Arabia. He's been asked to go to Dubai. He's been asked to go to, obviously, Vegas. But he was a showman, so he would do all these tricks on a Vegas stage. That's how people would see him. He said he's been approached by over 500 people to ask him to fix poker games, and they would pay him an astronomical amount of money to do so, but he's a smart guy. Because he knows if he does that once, he's in there for life, offering him cars, Rolexes, houses, briefcases, suitcases of cash. But he went in the straight and narrow. Smart guy. Oh, and did I mention something? I'm sorry. He's blind. He can't see. He does this all through touch. See, they say that when you lose a sense, your other senses heighten. He is diagnosed factually blind since he was a young man, like in his mid-20s. That's 40 years ago. But he knows these cards so well by touch, he can still fix the deck, and he can't see. He's blind as a bat. A real mechanic. You sit down in a card game with him, you're not going to want him to deal, I'll tell you that. Although he's not a cheater, he could be, but he'd probably be dead if he did. Belts, that's great. Richard Turner, I didn't know all that. You always give me information. No, I do. But what's that have to do with... I'll get to it, but thanks for asking. Thank you, I appreciate that. You're paying attention. Good. I'm going back to the well. And if you don't like it, there are a bunch of podcasts out there. Who's the real mechanic in real life? Who do you think is? You guessed it. The mainstream media and our sports media. They pick and choose narratives, and that's what's talked about. That's what's debated about. Right now, they're making it look like the sitting president is totally mentally functioning and capable. No one believes that. I'm not knocking the guy. I'm just telling you what I see. And what we're on bait with par for right now. We don't talk about his ridiculous racial slurs. If the previous president had said the stuff that he did, he wouldn't be impeached, he'd get murdered. But see, the media has the deck constantly. And whoever they choose as their champion cannot lose. Much like when Richard Turner is fixing a poker game, if he wanted to, if he wants you to win, you can't lose. But if he wants you to lose, you can't win. It's impossible. It is impossible to beat this machine right now. I mean, I could go on and on and on. I mean, AOC just compared human trafficking over the border to white supremacy. Here we go again. White supremacy. Still haven't met a white supremacist. Travel for a living. Oh, they congregate. No. I would have met one by now. If there's so many of them, I would have met one. Still haven't. Still waiting on it. I'm sure I met some racists from all different skin colors. But haven't met that. Haven't met David Duke yet. That's a white supremacist. Yeah, I'll give you that one. Haven't met him yet. But the point is that no matter what you say or do, if you're on the right side of the political fence, you simply cannot lose. Blackface Virginia governor, remember him? He's still there. Can you imagine if Ted Cruz did blackface in college? Bye-bye. Bye-bye. But it just goes away. Cuomo, another woman, claims now sexual assault last week. S.A. Assault. That's like rape. You barely even heard about that. He's on the right team, baby. You don't hear about that. No. Kamala Harris starts cackling like a hyena recently while she's talking about very ridiculous issues that Tommy Bench will get in. And she thinks it's funny. I'm going to see Christy Noem do that. It's over. Done. But she is on the right side of the fence. And the media is the real mechanic. They don't just fix the deck. They tell you they're cheating. They tell you they're biased. You know, believe me, go read the Times Magazine article we talked about the election, how they saved democracy. Yeah, it's their words, not mine. Go read it. They tell you that they cheated in the election. Times Magazine. No one talks about that. Let's just take a step back. I'm sorry. Now I'm getting to get more opinionated, and I really don't want to do that as much as I can. My point is that they hold the cards, and they do it in the sports media as well. And there's no getting around this undeniable fact. And there are so many things that we could get in. I've talked about Michael Bennett too much, but just to refresh your memory, lied about being accosted by the Las Vegas Police Department. Someone got shot on the strip. He ran for no reason. Of course, they chased him. Of course, he ran. Not because if I would have ran, they would have chased me down too. And I'm white. Of course, he lies about everything. And then Mina comes, does a big thing on it the next day. And then all the footage comes out. The body cam footage comes out. We see that he fabricated the entire thing. No apologies issued. No one cares. Because he's on the right side of the team. He's woken. They made him NFL Man of the Year 2 years later in Philadelphia. Trash. He plays for the right team. LeBron James plays for the right team. Countless lies, right? Remember after the election? Someone's perpetrated the N-word on my gate in my woke, ridiculous, white privilege, my privileged house in my white privileged neighborhood in that most expensive zip code nearly in the country or in the world. And no one saw it. No cameras. They have cameras in that neighborhood that could see the ball sack of a mosquito. But yet no one sees a five-letter word starting with N spray painted on LeBron's gate. And no one talks. He lied. That's a lie. But he's on the right team. No one cares. Recently, a guy named Myers Leonard, if you didn't know, played for the Heat and like Thunder. He's like 7 feet, ridiculously muscular for being that tall, a below average to average NBA player. He's playing a video game. He's gaming, and he says the K word in regards to a derogatory term of someone of the Jewish faith. It is a bombshell because they don't call each other the K word like people would say the N word. No. And it's just like the N-word, wildly offensive. Yeah, make no mistake about that. But he's doing it while he's gaming, and then he said later he didn't really know what it meant. Now, I don't believe that or not. In the context in which he used it, it kind of sounded like he didn't know what it meant, but he said it. He said it nonetheless. Like Riley Cooper said the N-word. That's a no-no. No one's going to argue with that. And now he's canceled. He's done. He is out of the NBA. He does not have a job right now, as of tonight. Do I agree with that? Maybe. Maybe. I mean, if you want to talk about consistency, then yeah. Then yeah, I think that there's some merit there. Oh, wait, hold on. Let's see what Kevin Durant said recently. This is Kevin Durant, and this is going to be some pretty lit language here. Ain't my words, but I'm reading this. Kevin Durant got into a spat with Michael Rapaport, a washed-up, woken idiot who peeked on Dave Chappelle's Pop Copy, the first episode ever on season one. That was the height of his career. That was like, what, 20 years ago? Kevin Durant comes to that him and says, "I heard it all before, you cunt. Chuck doesn't need you as a security guard, you pale, pasty, cum-guzzling bitch. I swear I'm a spit in your face when I see your dirty ass. Bet your life on it. Meet me on West 17th tomorrow at 10, or better yet, what's your address? 10 a.m. at Catch Steak on the Corner. Meet me there, pussy." And then he goes on with more and more homophobic, ridiculous direct message tweets. That, you know, is that not offensive? You think Kevin Durant's getting canceled? Oh, I know. Well, there's a difference between Kevin Durant and Myers Leonard. You're damn right there is. There's a difference in their ability. There's also a difference on what team they play for. Durant is woken, outspoken the whole time against Trump. Big Biden guy, actually. If you go back and look at some of his tweets, he had to delete most of them because they were just ridiculous. But look at this. So it's okay to bash the homosexual community, but it's on this side, you can't be an anti-Semite. Of course, you can't do either these days, and you shouldn't. Then both should be canceled then, right? Wrong. And before you even get into the argument of, well, he makes one guy's on such a different playing field, this has nothing to do with their ability on the court. This is who has the deck, who's getting the cards. Let me put it this way. Myers Leonard ain't getting no cards. Sorry. Remember Montrezl Harrell last year in the bubble, in the playoffs, calls Luka a bitch-ass white boy? Flip that around and he is canceled. Bitch-ass white boy. But Harold's on the right side, and it's not even because he's a person of color. He also super woken. He's got that Greg Popovich in him still. Go look at his Twitter feed, what he tweets about. He ain't getting in trouble. He issues a small apology, just like Durant, and we just move on. LeBron James, last year, on his Instagram, I'm spending that Jewish money. We kosher over here. Okay? That's wildly ridiculous. Oh, it's rap lyrics, and it's LeBron. Never mind. Let's move on. There's nothing to see here. There's never anything to see here. And it's not just individuals. The NCAA. Stop saying woke belts. Well, it's either that or cuck. Pick one. The NCAA is also extremely woken, okay? Listen to what they did to Oregon State. Oregon State, as I said, battles Houston to the bone, all the way to the bone in that game to put them potentially into the Final Four. And they lose. Like a heartbreaking loss. It's terrible. So, of course, it's late. They shower. They get changed. They get back to the hotel. It's like 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning. They're beat, mentally exhausted, and probably a little down in the dumps, which I can imagine because their season is over and they had a great run. A team that was supposed to finish last in the Pac-12 almost was the last team standing in the Pac-12. And they won the Pac-12, the Pac-12 tournament. And the NCAA tells them they have to go home. What? It's 1 o'clock in the morning. They kick them out the hotel and get them on a flight back to Corvallis. They got back at 4:45 in the morning. Belt's supposed to have to do with anything. That is ridiculous. That should be front headlines. You kick these kids out? What? Sent them? They just lost. They have to go home because of COVID? Can we have an adult conversation? Apparently, you can't even have that with the NCAA. What? They didn't do that to any of the women's team. Oh, no. Oh, no. But their weight room's smaller than the guys' weight room. That's a headline. But no, all the women's play. Oh, no, no. When Kansas State, when they got a chance to stay in the hotel and fly out in the morning like normal adults, not take the red eye to some obscure city in Oregon. No, you don't hear about that. You have to like dig for that one, you know? Papa John, remember that? Remember Papa John? He said the N-word. They caught him on tape. Can't do that. Even I was like, well, you're done. Had to move, death threats, lost his, he had to forfeit his position as CEO. Oh, and barely in the news yesterday, I found it on Yahoo, and now it's kind of trending, but not really. We find out it was all a lie, fabricated. The former CEO trumped this whole thing up. He did not do it. And what's happening now? He'll probably get civil restitution. He should sue the dog shit out of them. This should be the front of the theater, front of the television. And no one attacked him harder than the far left mainstream media. I haven't seen one apology issued from Rachel Maddow. I haven't seen one apology issued from Don Lemon. Chris Cuomo. Haven't seen anything. Wolf Blitzer went on this whole tirade. No, no apology. Whole thing's false. You can't even see it. Why? Because they're on the right side of the poker table. And they're not just they are the mechanic. They're actually the one dealing the cards. So you can't beat them. You can't beat this in the sports media. You can't beat this in the mainstream media. And one day, we just need to rise up. I'm serious. I'm not saying we rise up and have some civil war. It's just, we just need to start boycotting this. This is ridiculous. And it's blatant. And it's ridiculous. Bias. Insanity. Even in the sports side of things, it's very difficult to argue this now. I'm sure you can. But you'll fall on deaf ears to me now because I look at this objectively and this is getting out of control. We don't report anything. The Papa John story should be front page news that he's been exonerated. But no. In section F96 behind like the cooking section. That's where we are now. And it's absurd. Who is the real mechanic? We know who it is. And there's no getting away from it. And just don't lie to yourself anymore. Let's just sit down, sip our cheap wine, and have an adult conversation. Oh, I can't wait to hear Bro Exotic talk about woker instead of poker. Oh, it's going to be incredible. Let's get some picks on here. As I said, 21-13, documented on Instagram and on the podcast. 7 of our last 9. coming in, also the NIT, as well as the tournament and the NBA. Major League Baseball, be getting into that as we go. And I'm going to lead off with something that I talked about last week, and now I can't emphasize enough. Nolan Arenado is now down to 9-1 as the MVP. Hopefully you hear this before this whole thing tips off. 15-1 is what we saw him at. Nolan Arenado is going to win a gold glove. He'll win a silver slugger, and if he does what I think he can, he'll get 2 of 3 of the categories of the Triple Crown and will win the MVP as St. Louis rolls through the Central and probably will end up playing the Padres or the Dodgers in the National League and in the NLCS. Nolan Arenado, MVP, get on that now, please. Dickie Salvo also likes the Marlins today. Know nothing about it, but he's good, so get on that now. Who we got here? Houston plays Baylor. This is probably the best matchup of the season as far as raw talent. No one is surprised both of these teams are here. I didn't do a bracket, but when I looked at this, I was like, how is Houston not going to play Baylor in the Final Four? And here they are. Both teams. I'm not a big fan of Baylor's coach. Here's the thing. I don't think this is a coaching matchup thing. I think that's the next game we're going to talk about. But we talked about Akio Teague 3 weeks ago for Baylor, and we talked about Quentin Grimes when I talked about Houston winning the whole thing. This is probably two of the best guards in the NCAA, and this will be one of the best guard matchups that's probably happened all year. So we're going to be looking at that. And the fact this isn't a pick'em is just disturbing to me. It's almost like a trap, but I have no choice. If you're going to give me Houston in 5 points, I'm going to take it. Now, be sure and follow the Instagram page. We're not playing it yet. We're going to play it Friday. We're going to play it hours before the game. But I'm tired of getting cucked in COVID sports with the lines moving everywhere and so he's out, he's got COVID and all this bull. So off the record, Houston +5. On the record on Instagram, well before this game tips. Follow us on Instagram @thesportsantidote. Next game. UCLA plays Zaga. Interesting here. Zaga is a wrecking ball. Still leads the nation in highest shot percentage as far as good shots being taken. Layups, dunks, open threes, open mid-range jumpers, and free throws. They get whatever they want, whenever they want. They run the best high-low I think I've ever seen in my life. UCLA, though, is a weird cat. They are the Cinderella story of this tournament, coming in here with a big chip on their shoulder. No one gets these guys fired up like their coach Cronin. Cronin versus Few will be the best coaching matchup so far in this tournament, in my opinion, because you're looking at two teams trying to do two different things. They slowed down Michigan in one of the lowest scoring games in NCAA history in the tournament. They barely got over 100 points, and UCLA eked that out. There is no way UCLA is going to want to run with Gonzaga. I'm sorry. It just is no way. Nobody wants to run with Gonzaga. You can't. They're going to want to slow this game down. I know Zaga's offense is as potent as we've ever seen, but there's no way the strategy for UCLA to win this game is going to be, let's play their game, let's run up the court. They're going to walk that bitch up the court. You're looking at a really, really slow basketball game. I don't know who's going to get covered, who's going to win. I'd be rather surprised if UCLA beat Gonzaga. But I would also be surprised if this game went over 145 total points. It probably takes overtime to do that. And if that, we made the wrong bet anyway. We should have had UCLA the whole time. But because of the coaching differential and the different offenses and pace, I like this under 145. Nolan Arenado to win the MVP now at 9-1. Still value there. We like Houston and the 5 points. And we like the under and UCLA Gonzaga. And once again, wait till we post on Instagram for that. You play them now if you want, but I ain't getting cucked. Those are the two plays unofficial. They'll officially be on Instagram when the post comes out tomorrow. White bitch of the week. J.J. Redick finds himself back on here for the second time. J.J. is just not that good anymore. He's had a good run in the NBA. He's had a great run. If you didn't know J.J., he's got a really woke podcast. He hates the fact that he's white. The whole nine. He fit into the Pelicans just perfect. I think he was living in Van Gundy's guest room. He may as well have been. I don't know. His adopted son. Well, they traded him to the Mavericks, and he takes to Twitter on how the Pelicans were dishonest. And no, they weren't. As much as I don't like the Pelicans and don't care about the Pelicans because they don't care about basketball, at least their coach doesn't, they were not dishonest. And J.J. Redick can't read because apparently what they did was very kosher, and it was a smart move. And usually the Pelicans front office does the right thing. They're very good up there. And Trajan Langdon was actually behind this one, and he's a smart dude. And he did it to his own Duke alum. He's great. I love it. Oh, JJ, just retire and just go on CNN with Don Lemon and Malcolm Jenkins. It's over, bro. You're white bitch of the week. The Onion Ring, where even fiction is reality. Everything on here is a fact. With guest host, Bro Exotic, Super Woke. Bro Exotic, thanks for joining episode 41. What's up, pal?
Hey, what's going on, man? Bro Exotic, founder of Me Too, Mu, Epsilon, Theta, Omega, Omega. What's going on, bro?
Never gets old. Sick. Nothing much, man. Thanks for joining the pod. You're gaining quite a lot of momentum within the Anadotians. A lot of questions being asked. Some think it's parody. I have to tell them that it's not. You are a real person. You are this woken. What college? You went to Columbia, right? There's something stupid. What'd you major in again?
That's right, bro. Pansexual Danceery.
Is that a 4-year degree?
Oh, of course, bro. Yeah. Well, what are you saying? It's not a normal degree.
No, I'm not saying anything, man. I'm just saying most people major in, like, you know, I don't know, like communication.
Well, most people aren't woke like me, dude.
Yeah, we get that. Well, hopefully you can use your degree to, you know, make monetary gains in your life. It seems like a very obscure thing to major in, but you know what? Danny Belts went to culinary school. What does he know? But let's get into something you do know. I am hearing that there's a new show out there that you've been promoting on Instagram and watching. And I have yet to find it. Rather than blow it for everyone else, can you just tell us about this new show you're watching? I think it's a spinoff of something on AMC or something along those lines.
Right. So I've been catching up on the Woking Dead. yeah, dude. It really is great, dude. It's about a bunch of mindless drilling zombies from San Francisco. And they just, like, aimlessly roam the streets eating the flesh of grass and complaining about how, like, Whole Foods needs to provide transgender-exclusive handicap ramps. And it's directed by Assistant Secretary of Health Dr. Rachel Levine, who's fit as a fiddle, by the way.
Yeah, she is ripped. She's certainly qualified for that job. So let's just back this up here for a second. Does that take, like, a special subscription to be able to watch The Walking Dead? Because I could not find it. Maybe that's a reason why. Is there some sort of password
you would,
or something?
You would first need to subscribe to WokeFlix.
Oh, I should have known. Okay, I got it. Yeah. Well, I'm probably not going to do that. We'll just have to take your word for it. In the show, is that amazing mayor London Breed still the mayor? Because she reminds me of someone that would probably want what kind of ramps again? What was that? That was pretty.
They need to provide transgender exclusive handicap ramps at Whole Foods.
Yes. That seems like something she would want as crime goes through the roof and there's syringes everywhere. People are defecating. People are getting stabbed left and right. There's no police anymore. And we need to have the right ramps for transgender whatever at Whole Foods. Yeah, that sounds.
Yes, because strong women make strong moves, bro.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie with you on that one, man. I think they do. I like what my girl Chrissy Gnome's doing in South Dakota, but I'm sure you're not about that action. Because she has an R behind her name, but that's neither here nor there. Anything else about this Woken? It just started. So the first episode, is that what happened? They just meander around?
Yep. First episode came out. And they
mark and ridicule. So, yes, let's move on to a game that you told me you were playing. You said you were playing in your, I thought you said poker game. And then it sounded different, and I had to cut you off. I was like, wait, bro, did you just say woker? And when I asked you about it, you just said, allow me to explain to the Anadotians on the cast. So I know nothing about this game. The only thing you told me was one thing. Four queens is the best hand, and then I hung up the phone on you because I understood how woke and stupid this game was. So go ahead and enlighten us with this just marvel of intelligence you're about to lay on us. I can't wait to hear this. Jesus, let me get some more wine. Go ahead.
So Woke Pope, he created this game as a means of fellowship in the Church of Woke. It's called Woker. Much like your typical poker, but much, much more woke. So basically just a couple parts about this game, like white people automatically lose if their flush is all black symbols or all red symbols because it's culturally appropriating African Americans, Native Americans. And if they decide to have a flush of all clubs are canceled because the Celtic symbols on that many cards is a sign of white privilege dominance over African Americans. And and same goes for Kings, three of a coin. Like, if you have an ace, a two, and then a KKK, then you're canceled, bro.
Canceled out of the game?
Canceled out of the game, bro. Can't do that.
Can't do that. Yeah. Okay.
And then
you did say four queens beats four kings, correct?
Oh, that's coming up. Don't worry.
I'm sorry. Let me just be quiet. Go ahead.
So just like you're saying, queens do beat kings, and so do jacks if they decide to gender fluidly identify as Jills. Because in this game, much like life, we're trying to dismantle the tyrannical patriarchy. Of course, white people all receive an equal amount of tips, but African Americans obviously receive 50% more in reparations. But best of all, at the end of the game, whoever quote unquote wins has to then redistribute his wealth evenly between everyone who played, because, you know, we at the end of the day, we just want to get paid again, because it's not on our merit, but just because we simply showed up to the game.
I'm trying to digest this. So does anyone actually win when it's all said and done?
Oh yeah, everybody wins, dude. Because you redistribute to everybody, and then everyone gets what they deserve just for showing up.
But what about if you take everyone's chips and you win? Everyone else then loses, so you win.
Right, but competition and capitalism are evil, bro. We don't do that. We redistribute.
I'm just trying. What's the point then?
The point is just to not be a one percenter and redistribute your wealth to everyone else.
Oh, so it's like a workshop.
If that's what you'd like to refer to as, yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's fine. I see. Okay, good. It's like okay. Am I allowed to play Woker? Can I get on this action?
I don't know if you're ever going to be at that level, bro. I mean, first of all, you have to be a member of the Church of Woke.
Oh, never mind. All right, I'm out. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry about that, man. Well, look, dude, every week we just learn more and more about your woken culture. And thank you for being open and just so forthcoming on what's actually happening out there in the woke community. Because how would we know? I mean, it's not like it's on the news or anything, right? I mean, that's fake. That's fake woke. This is real woke.
This is real woke, bro.
Yeah, they don't talk real about woke. Even this. They don't talk about this on MSNBC. And this is where it's at. So, all right, bro, Exotic, man, give us your Instagram one more time, and we'll go ahead and get you out of here.
Absolutely. It's going to be BREAUX Exotic on Instagram. And no jokes, stay woke, bro.
I believe you owe us a post coming up pretty soon regarding Woken.
Oh, I will. Don't worry. Full rule book to follow as well.
Unbelievable. Well, you're the best. We'll see you next week.
All right. Cheers, bro.
Bro, Exotic. Oh, what do I even say? What can you say? Where's Tommy Bench? Tommy Bench jumps on the Sports Antidote, episode number 42. What's up, pal?
Not much, Chief. How you doing?
It's good. It's a hard chief. I like the hard chief. Sometimes when people say chief, it's just they don't have enough oomph in the syllable. You know, it's a one-syllable word, so get your money's worth. Speaking of
which, you really have to.
You do. You do. Unless you bet them in the Super Bowl. Cooks! But let's see here. All right, a lot going on here. I believe you told me what you're going to talk about earlier. I said that in the intro. We're talking about the fourth wave of COVID, the one that's going to wipe everyone out.
The impending doom of COVID, yes.
And you're going to be hitting on Lil Nas, and you're going to be hitting on some of Joe Biden's dogs. So I don't even know where.
That's Major Biden to you.
Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry.
Be respectful.
I'm sorry.
The first mutt.
I apologize. the first mutt. There you go. Let's start off with the fourth wave of doom.
All right. The fourth wave of doom of COVID. So, you know, we all remember a few weeks ago, cases were crashing, cases were coming down. They were starting to level off, you know, and we said, look, there's still a lot of downward pressure on things. And we also covered that Texas was lifting its mask mandate. And I very specifically remember saying on the Sports Antidote, now listen, if cases continue going down in Texas, that does not mean removing masks results in less spread. But what it could indicate is that removing masks does not have the effect, or at least lifting mandates does not have the negative effect of cases going up. Well, it's now been about 2.5 weeks since the mask mandate was lifted. Now, as a resident of the great state of Texas, I can still tell you there are a lot of people still wearing masks. I'll tell you my somewhat cuckish approach. There are people much bolder than I, but my cuckish approach is if the store has a sign that says required and I want to go in, I'll wear the mask. But if it indicates in any way that it's optional, or if there's no sign at all, no mask. That's the approach that I take. Now, I know there are people much more adamant in saying they haven't ever worn one and they never will wear one. It's a free country. My body, my choice, right? Okay.
Of course.
So what has been happening the last week or two, and we're not going to deny the data, even though we're probably frequently accused of being science deniers, and you always have to say science like that the first time you say it in the conversation to really be a full-blown douchebag. What you're seeing is the cases are starting to tick up. And that's, you look at the 7-day average from today versus the 7-day average from about a week ago. It's up about 10%. And so that's a statistically significant amount. It's not just 1 or 2% that you'd say that could be a variation of that. It's cases now versus about a week, 10 to 14 days ago, are about 5% higher as a whole nationally. When you dive a little deeper into the data, though, what you're seeing is the cases seem to be going up, at least right now, in places that had the strictest lockdowns, that are just now kind of coming out and relaxing lockdowns. New York, New Jersey, Michigan, Pennsylvania. California is bucking that trend a little bit. They're actually ticking down. But, you know, a lot of those northeastern states and some of the midwestern states that were a little more strictly locked down than some of their southeastern and more mountain west and midwest counterparts. Now, what we did see in the earlier waves back in the spring and in the summer waves was they did kind of tend to start in the Northeast and filter their way through the Southeast and the Midwest. So it is very possible in another week or two, we could start seeing cases tick up in more Southeastern Sunbelt type states as they are currently doing in the Northeastern states. Now, what does all this mean? And where do I think we're headed? Being the non-expert on all this, I do think cases will tick up. I think each region of the country will get like a flow of maybe 5, 10, or 15% of increase in cases. But again, the downward pressure being applied by the biggest two factors being the continued rollout of the vaccines. And by the way, you know, we're on track now averaging almost 3 million shots a day. I mean, that's almost 1% of the population of the country is getting a shot in the arm. And that seems to be split about 65-35. 65% of those are first-time shots. About 35% of those shots are people getting their second dose. So, you know, in another 30 days, you're talking another 100 million shots, and it'll probably be more than that because the rate is increasing. There's going to be a lot of things applying downward pressure. So I almost equate it like this. It's like the virus is kind of making its last gasp to spread and infect a lot of people. You know, things are ticking up. But then I do think when, you know, maybe we'll get up to 60, 70, 80,000 new cases a day, it's going to have another one of these big collapses where it goes down. Now, interestingly, two other things are happening. And we'll wrap up the COVID section of this. There is being sort of a disconnect and a decoupling of what is occurring in deaths and hospitalizations. For instance, hospitalizations have practically flatlined, even though cases are going back up. And usually what you see is hospitals lag cases by about a week or two. Well, we're a good almost two and a half weeks into an increase in cases, and hospitalizations, they've seen a minor tick. And when I mean a minor tick, I literally mean 2 to 3%. So again, that could be variations in the data. You really want to see more like 5 to 10% before you declare a significant change in something like this, given how big the data sets are. But even more than that, the deaths are continuing to fall. Now, again, we'll know in about 2 to 3 weeks. If we continue to see the deaths fall, it really does add a lot of support to the contention that the one of the biggest benefits from the vaccine is not just reducing spread, but dramatically lowering severe cases of hospitalization and ultimate negative outcomes of death. So, but again, what's ultimately frustrating as we sit here and look at this is the obvious disconnect between what we're being told by our elite bettors and how we need to continue behaving versus what we're seeing in the data. I'm not saying we're back to doorknob licking yet, but I'll tell you, that's not far off. Okay. When we can go back to the doorknob licking days of 2019, and the idea of getting a vaccine and then continuing to wear a mask for months, the idea that July 4th, we'll finally be able to get together in small barbecues. Are you kidding? Are you kidding? To me, the goal as a nation should be Memorial Day, Major League Baseball stadiums are packed, are just packed to the brim without masks and people throwing beers at each other.
Yeah.
Like I'm all about just,
that. I want to do that. Yeah.
Right. So to me, that's the goal. I don't think that's outside of the realm of the reasonable, you know, again, doing some back of the envelope math, depending, the big factor is how many multiples of confirmed cases you think are out there. If you think it's like six times as many people actually got it versus what were tested, we're already in the mid 70% when you combine that with vaccine numbers and you do some accounting for overlap. If you're more in the, well, it's only 4 to 4.5 times, we're starting to get into the mid 60s as a country, but in another 2 weeks, even that scenario, you start getting to mid 70% of people are either in the vaccine column, they've either gotten the first or possibly second shot, or they've had a previous infection. So there's our COVID update for the sports antidote.
Yeah. I like that. Concise, legit, and very well thought out, unlike the stuff we see when we flip on cable television to get their opinion on certain things. But we gotta talk about this Lil Nas.
Well, let me close out one last Satanist. Point.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let me. I know he was. What the heck is that term called? Not. Oh, there's a specific term for it. I'll think of it. If I yell out a blatantly homosexual term in the middle of this part, you'll pegging. Yes, him pegging Satan or the reverse.
We'll get into
all that. But let me close out the COVID thing on one little thought. This is one of the things that is interesting about this situation is there are such large open sources of data that are purely just data that you can look at. Worldometers. I used to like COVID Tracking Project, but they stopped aggregating data on March 7th. That was disappointing because they had really good layouts. I like Worldometers. It's pretty good. Go there with your own eyes. You can look at the data. You can look at the trends. You can reach your own conclusions without getting any kind of, you know, Jim Acosta-ing input from some douchebag who wears the douchiest shirt ever to his own vaccine shot. Google that. It's worth the 3 minutes to get upset at what a big douchebag he is. So,
yeah.
All right. Lil Nas. Now, Lil Nas X.
Show some respect.
Excuse me. I'm sure if his life depended on it, he could not tell us in Roman numeral terms what X is a quantity for. But that is neither here nor there. Yeah. Yes. Fact check true. Just because of that simple statement. So the other day I was flipping through the channel here at the hotel and Avengers Endgame came on and it was that scene with that catchy Rolling Stones song in the background. And it's a song called Doom and Gloom. And so the next morning I was in the gym and I thought, I want to hear something a little upbeat. And as I was searching for that song on YouTube, you know, the suggestions come up and the suggestion, the Rolling Stones song, Sympathy for the Devil came up. And it made me think of this current situation with Lil Nas X and a company called Mischief, for anybody who's not aware. This company is a third-party company who buys product like Nike shoes. They reformat them in such a way. You can almost think of it like a Pimp My Ride for your shoes instead of a car. And they do it on a scale, like a set number. It's not just one or two. It's this one, I believe they were releasing 666 versions, numbered 0 to 666. So, and it was like any conservative Christian's worst cultural nightmare. It's a shoe glorifying the devil. They claim there's human blood in it, 666 emblazoned on it. It's really just a real slap in the face. And the video that goes along with it, again, I didn't watch it. I know that's your kind of thing to watch. So we'll take your word that somebody was pegging somebody.
It's not pegging is actually when a woman does that to a man, I believe. But there was a blatant scene at the end in which the Hodge twins, you need to watch their take on this. I almost swerved off the road today listening to right. them. But there is a blatant scene at the end where it looks like the devil has given it to Nas X. And then Nas X kind of fakes like he's giving the devil a back rub and then breaks his neck. So maybe he's like gays for God. I don't know, but
maybe
it's the most mixed signal thing. And I watched it, and I gotta tell you though, man, I watched it only because I knew I was gonna talk about it. Nothing really. I'm not a Disturbed type fella. Like I'm not saying I've seen it all, That video was probably the more disturbing music video.
Made your skin crawl.
It was six times more disturbing than the really weird Super Bowl halftime show, which was really weird.
Which was really weird.
This was way out there. The devil, you need to watch what the Haas twins say about this one. It is beyond hysterical. Just be sure you're sitting down and there's nothing in your stomach because you might have to change your pants.
And I couldn't imagine if you were watching the Super Bowl halftime show and you were actually high and trying to keep up with it.
I was watching that could have been a drunk neighbor, and this is when we were doing the carnivore diet. I wasn't drinking, and I was looking at it, and I was like, am I seeing this?
Am I seeing this? Am I hallucinating? Like, so, all right, so let me tie in this nearly 40-year-old Rolling Stones song. So for people who don't know, by the way, Sympathy for the Devil, it's a catchy tune, you know, Mick Jagger's singing there, and it's exactly what it says. It's a song that tries to garner sympathy from you for the devil and kind of paints him as, look, I'm just this misunderstood guy through history. But even in this song that I'm sure was met with revulsion from Christians of the time and conservatives and cultural conservatives in the 1970s when this song came out, even this song in its being heretical as it is towards Christianity, because you really, it's kind of hard to talk about the devil without also talking about Christ and God. And, you know, you kind of need one with it. You kind of have to. If you're going to acknowledge one, you've got to kind of acknowledge the other, you know, that's sort of the way the universe works. But even in this song, he talks about, I was around, this is the devil singing this song, I was around when Jesus Christ had a moment of doubt and pain, made damn sure that Pilate washed his hands and sealed his fate. Another verse, he talks about being in St. Petersburg when the czars killed the ministers and screamed in vain. He talks about having a general's rank when the blitzkrieg raged and the body stank. Now, essentially what he's saying is the devil was party to all these horrible things in history. You know, I shouted out, who killed the Kennedys, when after all, it was you and me, right? So this is the devil speaking, and he's essentially admitting all through history, he was present for some of the most horrid events, some of the most negative, horrid, and consequential events throughout human history. And he was part of it. He was at the center of it. So it's kind of like, well, yes, you're trying to glorify the devil and garner sympathy for him, but then you're also simultaneously acknowledging that he's been involved in all these evil and terrible things. So it's one of these, you dive a little deeper into it. You know, I'm not saying by any stretch this is going to become modern day worship music, but it at least acknowledges the evil of the devil, right? Whereas you fast forward to today, what's viewed as acceptable in today's culture is Lil Nas X doing whatever he's doing with the devil in that video and releasing shoes to just glorify it and talk about how wonderful this is. And it really makes you think, like, how much longer can we exist as a country and a society and a civilization and a culture when you have people on such opposite ends, right? Like a conservative Christian, call myself that category. How can I have a constructive dialogue with somebody who holds up the antithesis to what I dearly believe as a good and honorable, virtuous entity and being, and who would then look at what I sincerely hold to be true as something disgusting, awful, terrible, and immoral? You know, it's this isn't just like somebody who doesn't go to church and somebody who does go to church. It's such a wide chasm, and it really makes you wonder. This, you know, and we've talked about it here on the Sports Antidote, the balkanization, where people are just carving themselves off into their own little corners because they find it harder and harder to reach out and connect with somebody who's significantly different than them. Or not even just significantly. It's like, if you're a little bit different, you have to be radically different. We can't just like, I go to church, you don't go to church. It's like, oh, I go to church and believe pretty intently on these things, and you worship the devil. Oh, what about just like being somewhere in the middle?
Sick.
And it seems like we've lost that. So,
most certainly. I mean, before that, we get to watch Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion scissor on the stage. And I mean, you know, I don't want to get into the whole
on family
thing. We've already talked about it, but I mean, it's
family friendly TV right there.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I had a buddy of mine I work with said that he watched that, and he was on vacation. One of his like 6-year-old daughters was looking at it or something. Like, they just inadvertently it came on, and he couldn't have ran to the TV fast enough to turn it off, because like that's something you just shouldn't have to explain,
right?
Like a 6 or 7 year old of what's happening.
You wouldn't expect when you turn on network television, ABC, CBS, NBC, that you're going to see that kind of a display.
The Haas twins said they should just walk out with dildos and get it over with.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, you know what? That's not a bad point at this point. Why not?
What secrets are we keeping? Speaking of secrets, I'm going to read you a news headline. And let's see if you can decipher who did what to whom.
Okay, let's go.
All right. Biden's dog, Major, involved in another biting incident.
Trump bit the dog.
Fact check true. Trump snuck into the White House with a MAGA hat on and bit Joe Biden's dog, and he's racist. Now the dog's racist. He got infected with racism when Trump bit him.
Of course.
So why are we talking about this? It is a stupid story. Of course it's a stupid story. But just look at the way CNN phrases it. Biden's dog, Major, capitalized, because you capitalize names of dogs, involved in another biting incident. Now when we involved in another biting incident, that's like saying, you know, you were involved in a bank robbery because you were one of the hostages, right? Okay, I mean, you weren't the one robbing the bank, but you were involved because you were a hostage. When you're the person doing something or the entity or the creature doing the biting, don't you think there's a more direct way to phrase this? It just shows, even in a situation as straightforward as Joe Biden's dog bit somebody, they want to try to craft the narrative like, well, the dog was involved in a bite. Involved? No, if you're the one doing the biting, you are the bitee, not the recipient of the bite. You are the biter. Not the bitey, I guess, is how we would phrase it. So I just, even with dog bites, we can't just have honest and forthright, the dog bit somebody else.
Let's just say it. We can't even have an adult conversation about a canine attacking a human in the White House. No, we can't have it. No.
What we can have a very childish conversation about is the fact that the New York Post, and this was also reported in the UK Independent, reported that around 10:27 a.m., it was noticed, journalists noted outside of the diplomatic room, and I believe this was yesterday, that, quote, there was dog poo on the floor. It's unclear which dog was responsible for it. Now, I bet the carpet of the Lincoln Room cares.
I bet.
I bet we should call the FBI and launch an investigation and hold hearings. And now, look, is this that big a deal? No, anybody who's owned a dog means you've had a creature crap on your carpet, especially if you've owned a dog for any length of time. It happens. But it's almost more representative of what this White House is, which is a steaming pile of dog poo. And the fact that it is so aptly represented, and it seems that everything they try to handle, they handle it like a pile of dog poo. And then CNN runs out and tries to write a headline that makes it seem like it wasn't really their direct action. They were just kind of tangentially involved in Trump's a racist. I mean, that, like, you really could end every CNN article.
What if Hunter Biden shit on the carpet? Is that...
So first of all, I heard Vegas is giving 1-4 odds that'll happen sometime in the next 2 years.
4-1 or 1-4?
1-4. I mean, you got to give the guy some
chance. A huge that's
right. I'm sorry, I wasn't phrasing that right. 4-1. Okay, 4-1.
Yeah. So we can look
it's
into
possible
that. We'll look into that.
But not guaranteed. Possible but not guaranteed that Hunter Biden, after getting high on crack, stumbles into the White House and takes a dump on the floor. So it's not impossible, but it's probably not likely. So I'm sure Enterprise Rent-A-Car can attest to that. But anyway, it's just another illustration. We're not even gonna get into the kids in cages. We're not even going to get into, you know, Kamala Harris, that cackling laugh. I swear they found the one female Democrat with a laugh worse than Hillary Clinton.
Man, I don't know how they did it. She was talking about something pretty serious. She just could not stop laughing. She started crying.
No, Joel, she was talking. All right, we will get into it. She was talking about
not too long. How, go ahead.
In California, and this is a fact. This isn't just right-wing propaganda, your gateway pundit, Epic Times. This is, I think even CNN reported it. Teachers in California who've been refusing to go back and teach in person are being sent down to various convention centers, I believe it's in San Diego, to teach immigrant children in person. Immigrant children who are not being tested for COVID are getting in-person education while U.S. citizen children are not in California. And she cackled and laughed about it. She cackled and laughed about it. Well, now parents will appreciate how much childcare costs and how effective teachers are.
She starts rolling. She starts really rolling. And then there's that weird – there's that weird pause, and all the women are there, and they kind of do the whole like, should we clap or not? And really, they're probably like, "Bitch, I'm gonna kill you." Like,
no, they're realizing when Joe croaks and you're what we've got left, we are in trouble.
Yeah. Well, so, anyway,
all right. There's our hot takes for the week.
Yeah, Bench, we'll see you next week, bro. Thanks for jumping on.
All right, out here.
I'm your idol, the highest. Thanks for joining the Sports Antidote, episode number 42, The Real Mechanic. We know who holds the cards, and we know who gets the hands. It's pretty apparent to me. We'll get into the NCAA more next week, obviously, in the championship. I think we're going to see Houston playing Gonzaga in an inevitable matchup with the two best teams in the country. Could be wrong. Baylor's extremely good. Only time will tell. We'll also get into some Major League Baseball. Hopefully Salvo can get on. Thanks to Bro Exotic for jumping on the pod with Tommy Bench, Coach Ed Ogeron. I'm your host, Danny Belts. We'll see you next week for episode 43. Keep it real, Antidotians. I'm outspoken. My language is broken into a slang, but it's just the dialect that I select when I hang. I play it cool. The schooling is all that I'm about. Just fooling with the girlies that's busting it out. I'm special at it.